The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
All right, at 9:27, I want to talk to you about Miriam Brady and Ronan Smith, a couple that have given plenty of us entertainment over the years, from Miriam's role in Glenroe to Ronan's work with Riverdance and in the Gaiety Theatre. They've been involved in really the Irish theatre industry and scene for many, many years. And Miriam is with us this morning.
Good
it's lovely
morning.
To meet you, Miriam.
How are you?
Thank you for coming in. I'm enjoying this new scene of having people in front of me in studio.
Yes, it must be amazing for you, actually.
Well, it is lovely. I'm particularly keen to talk to you this morning because of Ronan.
Yes.
Tell me about Ronan, will you?
Oh, well, subjectively, Ronan.
As much as you can.
Ronan is the best guy in the whole world. I met him in 1987 when I was an actor in Cork, and I was in Othello and he came to visit our company. He was working for a team theatre company. He was AD there. And as soon as I saw him, this sounds very strange, but I absolutely fell in love with him. And I turned to my friend and I said, oh dear, that's the man I'm going to marry.
Really?
Across a crowded room. And of course, I just put that away because one does. That's just silly talk and you get on with your life. And he went back to Dublin and I got on with my life. And I continued my acting career, and then I took a break and I went to Kenya to work on the missions there and came back. And then I got a call from Team Theatre Company asking me to audition. And I, long story short, went to work with Team, fell in love with Ronan. 2 years later, we were married.
And I think it's amazing that you'd spot this man.
Very strange.
And say, it's him.
Yeah.
You hear stories about this, about people saying that they saw somebody in a room or whatever it might have been and said, it's always going to be that person. And it's not creepy. It just happens to be this. It's more cosmic than creepy.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's very strange. And your conscious mind comes in and says, well, you know, you need to just calm down now. It's just, you're in one city, he's in another, he's in a relationship, you're in a relationship. But it did. It came around and we're together for, 32 years?
I suppose in some ways, and this is an unusual turn on the road, we have to talk about Ronan's father.
Yes.
Again, a theatre...
A producer,
producer,
yes.
In the programme I was watching from before, it's an older programme where Grace Kelly's come to town and he's
bringing her in
to the press car. Read. So he was mixing, brushing shoulders with these kind of people. Anyway, Ronan's father got ill. At some point in his life, which I'm going to ask you about now, but he didn't want to tell anyone.
That's right.
And he was hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I didn't know Brendan personally. I met him once when he was very, very ill, about 6 months before he died. He did hide it. And I think he wasn't just hiding it from other people. I actually think he might have been in denial himself because it's such a distressing disease that part of you doesn't want to face it. So it was Ronan, it was Michael Colgan actually who worked with him, who worked with Brendan in, Brendan founded the theatre
festival. Yeah.
So Michael called Ronan and said, look, things are not good here at all. There's something really wrong
with
your
father.
And so the world really came tumbling down, and they went down the road of looking for care, and they finally got him care in Donnybrook in St. Mary's.
And it was Alzheimer's we're talking about.
It was Alzheimer's and a particular type of Alzheimer's, Ryan. Ronan has what we call familial Alzheimer's disease, FAD for short, and only 1% of all dementias. There are around 110 types of dementia. 1% of them are FAD. It's quite a rare gene. And the peculiar thing about FAD is you get ill exactly, almost to the day that your father got sick.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, or your mother.
What was what was Ronan's father doing that was, I know you didn't mean it, that was the cover-up bit that people were saying, what's that carrying on?
He was terribly confused in the office, files all over the place. His cognition was just descending. He was, going around Europe on trips because of the festival, getting lost in Paris. It just chaos, really.
And what you can see and read from the book that Ronan has written with Sue Leonard is the sense that at the time, I wonder about the 1980s, mid to late 80s, when I think Ronan appeared on The Late Late Show.
Yeah, he appeared with Gay, would have been about 88, actually.
To talk about his father and Alzheimer's.
Yes.
But I think it was quite
89.
Interesting. Here we are in 2021.
I know.
Talking about
so
that.
Strange.
And how it was taboo almost, Alzheimer's. That it
oh,
was,
absolutely.
I didn't realise it was, yes. It was kind of so undiscussed.
Yes, and the ASI, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, wasn't long in existence. And in
right.
fact, Ronan was part of that team. He joined the ASI yeah. when his father got sick, and he was a great help to them as a lawyer and everything else. But yeah, and here we are again, come full circle. It's very strange.
So talk to me then a little bit about Ronan and how, I mean, he seems like a very charismatic guy.
He is very charismatic.
Theatre guy.
Yeah, he's still very charismatic.
Yeah.
He started life out as a child actor from the age of about 10.
Black Beauty.
And yes, and then did some teenage acting, early adult acting, like SOS Titanic with Helen Mirren, his yeah. bestie, as he likes to call her. Lee Remick, who he still has a crush on, even though she's probably passed. But anyway, we won't go into that. So, yeah, he loved all that. And then he went on to be a stage actor in Dublin with the Gate and the Abbey Theatre, and then became artistic director of Team Theatre Company while acting at the same time and producing at the same time. So quite often Ronan would be working from 8 in the morning till 10 at night, which is not a great thing. And it is a theme in the book.
Yes.
Workaholism is a theme. And I think it's something that we kind of possibly need to really talk about more in society.
Separate to where we're going with Alzheimer's, do you think it's another issue altogether?
It's another issue.
Yeah.
It's not for today, but it is a...
It's a very good point you make.
It's as important as other isms like alcoholism. And the, you know, the common denominator is that you leave behind, you leave an absence in the people around you.
Yes.
For the people around you.
Do you think some workaholics are on the run?
Possibly they're on the run from themselves.
That's kind of what I was thinking of.
Alcoholics are on the run from themselves.
Yeah, a lot of people on the run are...
People with eating disorders are on the run from themselves.
Yeah, good point,
you know,
yes.
And so it is a psychological thing, yeah.
We'll come back to Ronan, though, if you
yes,
don't mind,
and
ask you about the point in his life, at what age he was, when you started thinking, Miriam, this isn't good.
He was about 57.
That's young, yeah.
We were on holidays with our dear friend Philip and Una in Clavier in France. And it's just something very tiny, but I just really got very suspicious. I sent him to the shops for two items and he came back with one, and he repeated the same the next day. And I remember saying it to Philip and Una, and they thought I might be imagining things. But anyway, it just progressed from there and I became quite suspicious. And he did become quite stressed at home, and then he went to work on a job that he wasn't. It wasn't the theatre world. It was the Science Gallery attached to TCD.
Yes.
And that's where he really felt things were falling apart for him.
Was he able to articulate that?
Not to me. But in his diaries, he expressed how he was finding it hard to cope. And I encouraged him then to be tested for Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So we went to the memory clinic, had the testing done, and then we were called back to be told.
It's not good.
It's not good, no. Probable early onset. Alzheimer's disease was the diagnosis.
Draw this box. Remember these words. These are the sort of some of the tests that you have to, apply in
yes,
this case.
Yes, and memory.
And memory, of course.
Recall.
The shuffling of the papers. You mentioned his father, Ronan's father's files and everything. I got the sense this was history repeating itself again.
Very much so. Ronan felt actually, he was on the floor in the science gallery with papers. And he thought, oh, my God, I'm actually repeating history. This is what I spoke about my father. So,
and the sense of cover-up, of trying to not let other people know where you were at. Did Ronan have the same problem?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Ronan was terribly brave. He came out immediately. He told his boss. He was working for Caroline Downey in the Gaiety at the time. And he went to Caroline and told her. And she was very, very supportive. Moya and John in Riverdance, very supportive. And it's not the case for all employers.
Yeah,
you know,
very good point again.
Getting that news.
Yes.
No, he never hid it, no. And we told the children, well, we told Lachlan after his leaving cert. We wanted that to be done, yeah.
And then
Hannah found out. She was in college and she found a book in my bag called Emotional Something Dementia. Contented Dementia.
Yeah.
She found it in my bag. She was looking for my phone and she was in the kitchen with me and she took the book out of the bag and she looked at it and she said, what's this about? And I nearly collapsed. And I said, oh, that's just some research I'm doing for Samaritans, because I was working with Samaritans at the time. And she said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And she just collapsed.
She knew. She knew. Did she know about her grandfather's story? And
Yeah.
I get the sense that you feel like you wish that book hadn't been there in that bag at that time.
Yeah, but you know, I suppose she had to know sometimes.
Of course she did. Yeah, I hope you're not being hard on yourself, though. You were.
No.
It's not fair. You say, Miriam, I spend a lot of time trying to protect him, Ronan, from his own sadness.
Yes.
And I have to accept I can't do that. What do you mean by trying to protect him from his own sadness?
I think a researcher asked me, it was Donal Lynch, actually, a writer, what was the worst aspect of this? And I said to him, it's not to do with the coping on a day-to-day level, the practicalities, but when I see him really sad, I just want to, I just want to reach into his soul and take it out and make him happy. And that's a challenge for me because I know I can't do that and I'm working on that. And I think it's probably a huge challenge for most of us as carers. When I say carers, I mean spouses, children, husbands and wives who are caring for their loved ones. And I'm really realising what it must be like to live with somebody who's very depressed.
Mm.
That must be...
Because the intensity
hard.
Of it.
The intensity and the lack of control.
Did Ronan see his grip on reality and memory and all of these things slide away? Oh. Was he aware? Was he kind of going...
Totally aware.
Like going in a lift, kind of going, there's
totally,
that floor, there's
still
that floor.
Aware. He's still aware. And that's very cruel.
Is it? Yeah, it must be.
It's very cruel because sometimes I wish he wasn't aware.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, that he was on the other side, but he goes in and out of awareness. And
so flashes of lucidity, is that
it? Yeah. And like he gets very, very down and depressed and agitated.
Yeah.
And when he gets agitated, he knows there's something really wrong. Like he could walk around the house for ages and just be very confused. And that does agitate him to the point of tears. So he knows something is really wrong.
Does he ask you about it?
No, he can't verbalise very much anymore. His language has depleted. I try and sit with him and stroke his hand when he's like that. And he doesn't ask me about it. I ask him.
Do you? What do you ask?
Can you just give me one word? What you're feeling?
Okay.
Can you tell me?
Hmm.
He usually can't, but I know him so well. I know what he's feeling.
You can see it in him.
Oh, I can see it in his eyes. Yeah.
Is it a lonely road, Miriam?
It's extremely lonely. Yeah. It is extremely lonely. But I do have amazing neighbours and friends. And I would say to anybody who is embarking on this journey, really, really try not to panic.
The analogy you use of the flight, you know, that Ronan was nervous getting on a plane. And
that I was nervous. I'm a nervous passenger.
You were the...
And getting on the plane and being told by the pilot in a very calm voice, "We're now taking off. I would just like to announce we will be on a very long trip together. There will be turbulence. But at the end of the flight, we will crash." And that's just a vision I had the day of the diagnosis at 4 a.m. That's how I was describing it to myself.
Yeah.
There is a crash at the end, but I would say to people embarking on the journey, try not to think about that. Live in the moment, get as much help as you can. Go to the right doctors, go to a geriatrician, go to people who are expert in dementia, not a GP. GPs are great,
but
you must have somebody like a geriatrician to have your back.
Do you have to think about the reality of not living physically with Ronan in terms of the house and
Absolutely.
Maybe getting better care? Is that the hardest part of your day, thinking of that? Or is that just, have you come to an acceptance on that?
No, I haven't.
And are we talking about finding a proper residence for him? Is that what you're
thinking
of?
Yes, and I have begun the journey of looking for places, because I think one should do that before a crisis happens.
And how are you doing with that?
Okay. I'm trying to be very practical about it.
Yeah.
I did go to see one 2 weeks ago, and I did find it very upsetting and depressing. I mean, they were terribly nice, but the age profile was not Ronan.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking around, it was quite depressing.
You feel he should be among people.
He's just so young and, yeah.
And can I ask you about, we've talked a lot about how difficult it is and how sad it is. Does Ronan have any lucid moments of great joy and
Yes, he's
happiness?
Amazing.
And
yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about
that? My number one tool for that, for accessing that joy, is I thought long and hard about what would help his cognitive health when he got sick. So I bought him a ping pong set. So we play table tennis every day together.
Do you?
I invite neighbours and friends to come in and play table tennis with him. And he changes completely.
Get away.
You can actually almost see
physically
the cortisone leaving the adrenal gland up into the brain, and he's smiling and he becomes Ronan the old actor.
Really?
Yeah. Even verbally he's different.
And do you think he's putting on a show?
He is putting on a show, but that is as much a part of him.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that he was that person. He was very gregarious, fun-loving, charming, very funny, very witty. And that's what comes out with the ping pong.
Isn't it amazing?
It's extraordinary to watch.
And reassuring, or heartening at least.
It's very heartening for me, and it's a support to me to see that.
One of your neighbours just contacted us to say that Miriam and Ronan are beyond impressive in the way they're dealing with this tragic disease, and they're truly inspiring. So the ping pong...
Is there a name?
It's just from a neighbour, so they're being discreet.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, whoever you are.
The support and appreciation. So Karen McDonald was on to say, like others who are probably listening to your interview with Miriam, I've happy memories of the later days at the Brendan Smith Academy of both Ronan's parents, and Ronan, of course, a lovely, kind man. Best wishes to him and to Miriam. If it's not too intrusive, how are your children and how are they with Ronan? And is it, obviously it's all changed, but is there beauty there or is it sadness? How would you describe that?
Both. Mm. Both. They're both terrific people. Hannah's 28 and Lachlan is 25. They're really just quite exceptional people. They're very empathetic.
Lovely.
So, I think it is very hard for them to visit our home every week because they can see a change weekly. They both live separately. They're both independent.
Sure.
Whereas for me, I'm seeing it on a daily basis. And it must be very difficult for them to come home every week and see the changes. But They just get on with life and try and support me as much as they can. And their dad, they play table tennis or whatever needs to be done, yeah. Go for a walk.
Is there music he likes?
Oh, yeah. I play, my lovely son, Lockie, got me Alexa last year. So it means I can access music very quickly for Ronan. So he loves jazz and blues and B.B. King, Benny King, Solomon Burke.
Excellent taste.
Yes, indeed.
And that puts a little light in the fire in the eyes then when you hear.
Absolutely.
I believe music is very, very helpful.
It's very helpful. Very, very helpful. Yeah. And our wedding song was Stand By Me with Benny King.
Was it?
And I can play that anytime in the kitchen and dance with him around the kitchen and he remembers. So that's really nice.
That must be kind of a sort of...
bittersweet.
Yeah, that's it.
It is.
Dancing in the kitchen.
It is,
like
but
that.
You have to keep going.
Miriam and Ronan, can you ask if she's tried singing with them, with both using song sheets to sing from? Celine in Dublin wants to know.
Yes, I have.
There you go. That's interesting.
I'm in a choir.
So
lovely Diva Voce's choir.
Oh, gorgeous. And I'd say that's good for you too. That's to have that support. Thank you for the beautiful interview, Miriam. I buried my dad last summer and several years of bad health and dementia. 3 months later, my vibrant mum was diagnosed. Apart from the fear, it's my fate. It's so difficult coping day to day with the mad fluctuations of mood and health, says Marina. And another is listening to Miriam this morning, thinking about her. And as there, a lot of people have their own stories and they're making them a connection with you and saying, well, we had something similar. You're being minded, right? You've got friends, as you say, and
yes,
neighbours.
Very good friends.
And yet I feel this, quite a strong solitary sense to your...
Yeah, it's deeply lonely, existentially lonely.
Yeah, you're very honest about that.
Yeah.
Because
there's no getting away from it.
Yeah. I think it's more healthy to be brutally honest about it rather
Absolutely.
Than... Because if somebody was listening in feeling very lonely and heard you saying, oh, it's grand of neighbours and we play ping pong, it's great.
No.
So how are you feeling about the immediate future?
Scared, really scared. Yeah, I'm absolutely terrified.
What do you do to try and alleviate some of that fear, the loneliness?
I go into my garden.
Yeah,
I have
your church.
That's my church, yes. I heard you speaking earlier about mountains. I'm in the foothills of mountains. I have mountains at my back and I have a lake in front of me.
Yes.
So we're very, very privileged to have that. And I'm a huge lover of nature and I spend a lot of my time outdoors. So I go kayaking on the lake with Ronan and hill walk. And
It's the redemptive power of nature.
It is.
I understand.
It's my saviour, actually.
My long may it save you.
Yes.
Miriam, thank you for coming in to talk
to
us today.
Welcome.
Please pass on our love to Ronan.
Thank you
and
so
to your
much.
Children.
Thank you.
And your book is called, If Memory, not your book, obviously, but Ronan's book with Sue Leonard is called If Memory Serves Me Wrong, a memoir of theatre, love and loss to early onset Alzheimer's. I think the amount of people in this country who will be able to relate to that book and this story is phenomenal, and I think it'll be if not a salve, at least a great help to people to be able to read this and
say
they'll feel a little less alone when they read this.
Thank you.
It's been lovely to meet you, Miriam.
You too, Ryan.
Hopefully happier circumstances next
yes,
time
indeed.
But I'd love to stay in touch if you don't mind. We'd like to keep following your story and make
Absolutely.
Sure that all is well, and
yeah.
I look forward to hearing your progress and happiness eventually coming your ways. You deserve it, and keep dancing in that kitchen.
I will, indeed.
Okay. See you soon.
Take care.
Thank you kindly.
Bye.
It's 9 minutes to 10.